The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 453 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. We start with breaking news, hot off the presses. Many of you probably aren't aware of this. You're hearing this for the very first time. Some of you may want to sit down. Here goes. The Steelers and the Packers will be playing in Super Bowl 51. It's true. I checked with my alternative facts department. They researched it, and it's true. I also learned about some other alternative facts. The Indians actually won the World Series. Their long drought is over. Sorry, Cubs fans. You need to stay up to date with alternative facts. Red Sox fans, you'll be happy to know that Babe Ruth was not traded to the Yankees, and Bill Buckner did not let the ball go through his legs in Game 6 of the 86 World Series against the Mets. Nope, never happened. He fielded it cleanly. Alternative facts, baby, look them up. Sorry, I could not resist. Could not help myself there. After two blowouts on conference championship Sunday, I thought it'd be good to start with a little bit of humor here. I'll break down Sunday's games and tell you who is favored in Super Bowl 51 coming up February 5th in Houston. We have some very sad news from the world of Major League Baseball. And the Lakers hit a new low, a record low, in fact. And that's not an alternative fact. This is actually the truth. So stay tuned for that. Plus, one of my really good friends from high school is on Jeopardy. I kid you not. How cool is that? I have to give my buddy Neil a shout out at the end of the show. So all of that right here on episode number 453 of the Sports Report podcast. Paul Roberts keeping you company for the next 30 minutes here on GrizzlyProductions.tv. Of course, you can also listen in the podcast section of iTunes. Just type in the Sports Report, Paul Roberts, and voila. And you can go back, listen to previous shows. Give me your feedback, whether you agree, disagree about the topics we bring up. Always appreciated on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT on Twitter. Let's start with the NFC Championship embarrassment, game. And I don't want to take anything away from the Falcons offense, not at all. I mean, if you followed the NFL, you know how good that offense is. But what I saw from the Packers secondary was an utter disgrace. they looked like a Big 12 defense. For college fans out there, you know what I'm talking about. Defense optional. 493 yards allowed. 30 first downs. Good grief. A simple pass over the middle goes 73 yards for a touchdown to Julio Jones. Now, I understand he's a great receiver, maybe the best in the game, but can somebody tackle the guy? It wasn't like this was a bomb down the sideline. He's running over the middle of the field. Tackle him. Matt Ryan's running in from 15 yards out for a touchdown. He's not exactly Usain Bolt or Carl Lewis, and he's running it in. Where was the Packers' defense? And I've told you for a while that Green Bay's defense is bad. I mean, they gave up 31 points at Dallas. They did not beat the Cowboys because of that defense. They beat the Cowboys because they have a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers under center. But man, oh man, was this bad. I mean, just pathetic. And I know they're banged up. I get it. I realize that. However, that did not look like an NFL defense. Not even close. Atlanta hung 44 on the pack. 44-21 was the final. I liked Atlanta to win, but I was expecting a good game there, competitive game. It was 31-0 early in the third quarter. Just abysmal. Hope you had some good food and drinks. Hope you had some friends over to talk to, because at 31-0, ugh. And all I wanted was a competitive game. I didn't have a horse in the race. I just wanted to see a game that would come down to the wire. Interesting in the fourth quarter. Is that too much to ask? Now, disappointing is the word that I keep hearing over and over and over again. Now, this time of year, people want good competitive games. And this was a joke. You know, whether it was hanging out with my friends, watching the games, or today at work, I mean, everybody was just saying, man, what a disappointing Sunday. Green Bay had opportunities. Green Bay missed opportunities early on and never recovered. Mason Crosby missed a 41-yard field goal. I mean, that was a bad omen early on for Cheeseheads. Crosby had made a playoff record 23 straight field goals. And we all remember the Dallas game. He's banging clutch field goals in the last 2 minutes from 50-plus yards. He made two of them. He had a 41-yarder. This is in a dome, and he pushes it. And then the big fullback, Aaron Ripkowski, he's rumbling, had a nice run up the gut, but gets stripped. He fumbles around the 10-yard line. The ball's on the ground. Finally, you know, it looked like Green Bay was going in for a score early second quarter, but Atlanta recovers that fumble by Ripkowski near the goal line. Just a killer turnover right there. Because at that point, it was only 10-0. Now, you get a touchdown there, it's 10-7. You're right back in the game. Then late in the half, the Packers dropped not one, but two potential interceptions. One was basically a Hail Mary that Matt Ryan just threw up, and they dropped that one. Instead, Atlanta keeps possession, and Ryan hits who else but Julio Jones for a 5-yard touchdown with 3 seconds to go. Two questions. Number one, why was there single coverage on Julio Jones? Man-to-man, your secondary stinks, and you're playing arguably the best receiver in the game? I mean, don't you have to, you know, have a corner up at the line of scrimmage and then a safety over top there? What was going on there with the coverage? And number two, why not just interfere with all of the receivers on that play? Just grab them. Knock them down. Who cares? There's only a few seconds left in the half. The penalty's not going to hurt you. Atlanta would have taken the field goal there. There would not have been time left to run another play. And I'm not just talking about Green Bay here. More teams should do that. In the final seconds of the first half, just, you know, commit pass interference. PI's not going to hurt you there. Most teams are just going to take the field goal. Instead, you let Julio Jones catch a touchdown. And now it's 24-0 at the half. You know, they scored 3 seconds to go. So I didn't like the strategy there at all from Green Bay. Use the rules to your advantage. And then the second half starts, and hopefully you were back from the bathroom in time, because, bam, 73 yards to Jones. Nobody can tackle the dude. It looked like the varsity versus the JV team in high school. And at 31-0, it's, you know, a matter of time then. Game over. Bus drivers looking for the keys. Some say numbers lie. Usually those who say that, I think, are too lazy to look up the numbers and do some research. I find that to be true on most occasions. Media members who say, oh, numbers lie, usually they don't want to put in the time and the work to look up those numbers, which are relevant. Listen to the numbers in this game, because they certainly did not lie. They tell the story. Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, 27 of 38, 392 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. And by the way, you know, I heard some people say, well, this game locked up the MVP for him because he beat Rodgers head-to-head. The MVP voting is done in the regular season. That's based solely on the regular season. So none of these playoff games matter. But 392 yards, four touchdowns. Julio Jones, 9 catches, 180 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And you're playing this guy one-on-one? Man, oh man, oh man. Atlanta was 5 of 6 in the red zone. The Falcons averaged 7.2 yards per play in this game, which is a huge number. 493 total yards. Those are what I like to call Nintendo numbers. Like you're using Bo Jackson in old school Tecmo Bowl. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Almost 500 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 27 of 45, 287, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Jordy Nelson was back. He had 6 catches for 67 and a score, but it wasn't nearly enough. This was a behind the woodshed special, if there ever was one. So the Falcons are heading to the Super Bowl for just the second time in franchise history. We'll talk about the AFC Championship game coming up, give you the Super Bowl odds, talk about tragedy in Major League Baseball, and my buddy who is on Jeopardy. All that on episode 453 of the Sports Report. We are brought to you by iHome. iHome's been with the show for a long time, and we appreciate their support. iHome's introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light technology that helps you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that's very important to all of us, right? I mean, how many of us know someone who has trouble sleeping? These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce, known as the Sleep Doctor, recommends these new iHome products, and he's the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. He is the guru. So go to the website, iHomeAudio.com, and take a look at the Zenergy line of products, like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Once again, iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 453 of the Sports Report podcast, feel free to follow me on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT with you every Monday. The nightcap on Sunday was up in Foxborough. At least this was close for a half. It was 10-6 when Brady found Chris Hogan on a flea flicker. You gotta love the old school flea flicker, right? I mean, that's back from, you know, growing up as a kid, playing out in the backyard, the trick play. You always went with the flea flicker. Well, it worked. Did it ever. 34-yard touchdown to Chris Hogan. As far as I know, unless there's more alternative facts out there, he's not related to Hulk Hogan, but he played like the Hulkster in this game. So you run the flea flicker midway through the second quarter. Great play call. Brady had all day to throw the football. Terrific protection for him. What a night for Brady and Hogan. I'll give you their numbers coming up. Hogan, by the way, a former Penn State lacrosse player who then played football at Monmouth. And now he's a star in the AFC Championship game. That's the beauty of sports. You got some great stories out there. Big momentum swing late first half. It looked like Jesse James, who is also from Penn State, caught a touchdown pass to cap a 70-yard drive. Little life for the Steelers here, right back in it. But video replay showed he was down at the one, and it was a good call. It was pretty obvious. Now, some of my friends are huge Steelers fans. They love the Steelers, and they have for many, many years. And one of my buddies was actually happy because he thought that Pittsburgh could run more time off the clock and not give Brady as much time to work with before halftime. You know, you always hear about scoring too early. I'm not a proponent of that. Never have been, never will be. To me, you score when you can score, especially against a team like New England. But, you know, he was happy, thinking, oh, we're going to get in, no problem. And, you know, we can run another play or two, take some more time off, and then Brady can't get that touchdown right before the half. But, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, the Steelers wound up getting stuffed by the Patriots' defense and then had to settle for a field goal. They absolutely had to get seven there, not three. Again, huge swing in momentum. It was 17-9 at the break. Could have been 17-13 if Pittsburgh gets one measly yard. But credit to that New England defense. I mean, they stood their ground. Steelers did nothing with the first drive of the third quarter. They go three and out. Patriots tacked on a field goal, and then they went on an 88-yard drive to go up 27-9. So now Pittsburgh is in big, big trouble, and it got worse. Eli Rogers fumbled. New England back in business at the Pittsburgh 28-yard line. This offense is good enough. Can't be giving them short fields. Four plays later, it's Brady to Julian Edelman. 10-yard touchdown, 33-9 late in the third quarter. And now it is over. 36-17 was the final. Pittsburgh got a late touchdown. Certainly did not help that Le'Veon Bell injured his groin in the first quarter. He was limited to six carries for 20 yards. And that guy had been on fire. I mean, remember what he did to Miami and then Kansas City on the road? I mean, he was just gashing those teams. Bottom line, though, Pittsburgh could not stop Tom Brady. 32 of 42, 384 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Not bad for a 39-year-old, right? I mean, he turned 40 this summer. I mean, he's playing some of the best football. You know, people are mentioning, you know, when's a guy going to retire? Why would he retire? I mean, he's living the dream. This is one of his best seasons. Going back to the Super Bowl, he only threw, what, two interceptions throughout the whole regular season? Then he has a game like this, 384 yards, three scores, 32 of 42. Why would you even mention retire the way he's playing? And he spread it around, which is what he does. Hogan, nine catches, 180 yards. Chris Hogan putting up numbers like Julio Jones. He had two touchdowns. First multi-touchdown game of his career. He had been with Buffalo, but last season, I think he averaged about 12 yards a catch. This year, he was up near 18 yards a catch. Edelman, eight catches for .118 and a score. The tight end, Martellus Bennett, who is definitely a threat, had five catches. The Patriots receivers were running wide open. I mean, at times I'm wondering, is Pittsburgh playing prevent defense here? I mean, it just looked really, really easy for New England to go up and down the field. Big Ben finished 31 of 47, 314 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Antonio Brown had seven catches for 77 yards, but New England did a really good job of blanketing him. I love the strategy there. Make somebody else beat you. I don't care what the sport is, football, baseball, basketball. Don't get beat by the superstar player. Make somebody else make that big catch. I mean, I thought that's what Green Bay should have done against Atlanta. You know, don't play Julio Jones one-on-one. Make another receiver beat you. Make a tight end beat you. And I thought that was clearly the strategy for New England. You know, they wanted to contain Antonio Brown, and they did a good job. I said all last week that I could not see New England playing two poor games in a row. And that's why I liked them in this spot, even though the line was six there. They did not play two bad games. They had zero turnovers. They only had two penalties. And they had 431 total yards. Remember the Houston game? bad penalties, costly turnovers in their own territory. That did not happen against Pittsburgh. And Brady simply owns the Steelers. He does. He is now 10-2 all time against Pittsburgh. And in the playoffs, 3-0. I mean, 10-2 is 10-2. And Pittsburgh's got a great franchise, a lot of pride there, but you know, what can you say? I'll also take Belichick over Tomlin any day of the week. And I know Tomlin's won a lot of games, but from an X's and O's perspective, not a big fan. And also what he was doing this year, going for 2 points, some of that just, to me, did not make sense. Your thoughts on Conference Championship Sunday? My word was disappointing. If I had to sum it up in one word, disappointing. Because I was looking forward to some close games. Especially with, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers there against Atlanta. I mean, you know, you thought Green Bay had a lot of momentum there. Big win over Dallas. And no dice. This is episode number 453 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts. So let's give you the odds here for Super Bowl 51. The Patriots are favored, which I don't think is a surprise, right? The question is, by how much? What should the line be? The Westgate Superbook in Vegas installed the Patriots as 3-point favorites over the Falcons. I actually thought this might be 4 or 4.5, and we'll see what type of action they get on the game. I'm thinking it might get bet up a little bit here because New England's a public team. You know, a lot of people, and not necessarily fans here. I know there are a lot of fans that can't stand them, but I'm talking about the betting public. You like Brady, you like Belichick in a big spot. So we'll see what happens to this line. But it opened at 3. The favorite, by the way, has won 32 of 50 Super Bowls. 32 out of 50. The total was set at 58 points. The total in the NFC Championship game was 61 or 60.5, and it did end up going over. And I had the under. I was not happy about that. Second quarter, I'm thinking, oh, I'm golden here. And then what happens? A touchdown with 3 seconds left in the half. And then the 73-yard touchdown to Jones. So he had 14 points there in like a minute and a half. Oh, brutal. And then I still had a chance in the fourth quarter. It was still under. And you get the penalty against Rodgers, backs him up to the 19. So it was third and goal from the 19. What happens? Pass interference. PI call, puts him down at the 1, kills the under. But I did have New England in the late game. So it wasn't all bad. The total in this one, though, is 58 points, making it the highest over-under in Super Bowl history. How about them apples? Vegas expecting a lot of points. New England's in the Super Bowl for the 9th time in franchise history. Atlanta's here for just the 2nd time. They lost to the Broncos. Remember John Elway's final game? That was the only other time that Atlanta has been to the Super Bowl. Falcons began the season as 100-1 long shots to win the Super Bowl. And mid-September, you know, after they opened up with a loss at home to Tampa Bay, they were at 150-1. William Hill's sports book in Nevada took 184 bets on Atlanta to win the Super Bowl at odds of 100-1 or greater. So those folks are feeling good right now. They got a shot at cashing in and cashing in big. 100-1. Patriots began the season around 5-1, and they've always been the consensus Super Bowl favorite. No surprise there. MGM Sportsbook said it took 5,800 bets on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, only 1,800 bets on the Falcons to win. And that goes back to what I was saying about being a public team. There was 4 times as much money on New England as was wagered on Atlanta in the Super Bowl futures odds. And that's not surprising to me at all. Patriots are perennial power, Falcons, I think, have been viewed nationally as this team that can't get over the hump. Good team, not a great team. You expect Matt Ryan to lose in the playoffs. He's going to his first Super Bowl in his ninth season. And a well-deserved trip. I mean, he's had a phenomenal season. Brady is going to his seventh Super Bowl. That is an NFL record. Here's a look at what these teams did in the regular season. Atlanta was 11-5, averaging nearly 34 points per game, the highest scoring team in the NFL. They allowed 25 per game. Now, they've been better of late on the defensive side. New England averaged 27.5 points per game, third best in the league. I mean, that just tells you how good Atlanta's offense was. Atlanta was almost a touchdown higher, and New England still had the third highest scoring team. The big difference is on the defensive side. The Patriots only gave up 15.6 points per game. That was number one in the NFL. I don't know that Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, gets enough credit there up in New England. Heck of a job he's done. And they don't have any first-team All-Pros on defense. They do have a few on the second team, but none on the first team. New England went 14-2. Only one loss was with Brady, and that was the game against Seattle. So they have won nine straight. I'm not going against Brady and Belichick. I mean, they have combined for 24 playoff victories. That's an NFL record. I'm hoping it's a good game. I'm hoping it's a tight game, close in the fourth quarter. I think we deserve it. But I cannot go against the killer bees there of Brady and Belichick. I want to take a quick look back at the playoff scores, because I mentioned my one word to sum up Sunday was disappointing. But you could use that word throughout the whole playoffs. We've had 10 games so far. Two of them have been really close games. And that was in the divisional round. You had Pittsburgh winning at Kansas City 18-16. That was field goal palooza for the Steelers there. And then, of course, Green Bay, Dallas. You know, Green Bay, the number four seed, knocks off the number one seed 34-31. Crosby with the 51-yard field goal as time expired. But, you know, the other scores, go back to the wild card round. 38-13, Green Bay over New York. 26-6, Seattle beat Detroit. 27-14, Houston defeated Oakland with Connor Cook at quarterback. Pittsburgh beat Matt Moore and the Dolphins 30-12. Other two games from the divisional round, Atlanta 36-20 over Seattle, and New England knocked off Houston 34-16. So, I mean, you know, it's been disappointing. 10 games and really only two good games. So I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that we get a really good Super Bowl this year. Who do you like? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. That's the handle for the Sports Report podcast, the Sports RPT. While we're talking about lopsided games, did you see what Dallas did to the Lakers on Sunday? Of course you didn't. You were watching football. You weren't watching Lakers-Mavs. Well, it is the worst loss in franchise history for the Lakers. 122-73. That's right. The Mavericks won by 49. And keep in mind, Dallas is 15-29 this year. Dallas is not a good squad. And they won by almost half a hundred. The Mavericks outscored the Lakers 38-11 in the second quarter. LA had five turnovers and four field goals in that quarter. Not a real good ratio. Jordan Clarkson said, quote, "A loss is a loss." Wrong, my friend. Losing by 49 is not just another L. That is a donkey kicking right there. LA got off to a good start. Remember, they were 500. They were 10-10 through 20 games. Since then, 6-22. And they have some young guys with potential. They have D'Angelo Russell. He's hurt now, but they have Julius Randle. They have Brandon Ingram. I mean, obviously, they need some more pieces, but Man, oh man, oh man. 122-73. Now to a tragedy in the world of baseball, a double dose of horrible news from over the weekend. Yordano Ventura won a World Series with Kansas City in 2015. His nickname, The Ace. Well, he died Sunday in a car crash in his native Dominican Republic, and he was only 25 years old. Jeez. Also Sunday, former big league infielder Andy Marte died in a separate car accident, also in the Dominican Republic. He was 33, last played in the big leagues in 2014. The Dominican Republic has the second highest traffic-related death rate in the world. And they say it's because of, you know, alcohol, drinking and driving, the speed, people just going too fast on very dangerous roads. And a lot of drivers apparently just disregard traffic laws. Oscar Tavares, Jose Uribe, among players who have died in crashes in the Dominican Republic. The Royals lowered flags at Kauffman Stadium to half staff on Sunday, and they displayed Ventura's photograph on the scoreboard in center field. Fans were leaving flowers and Royals hats and other items just within hours of worrying about his death. He signed a $23 million deal for 5 years shortly before he started on opening day in 2015. This past season, he was 11-12, 4.45 ERA. In his career, 38-31, ERA just under 4. None of that matters, of course. When this guy came up, you know, a lot of people really, really liked his potential. 2014, his ERA was 3.2. Real fiery demeanor out there. And he helped the Royals get to the World Series for the first time in nearly 3 decades. And then they ended up winning it in 2015. But sad, sad story. Marte was an infielder, played in the majors from 2005 to 2010 with Atlanta and Cleveland, and then returned to the big leagues in 2014 with Arizona. That's the last team he played with. Spent the last 2 seasons in South Korea. But, you know, this just brings up a message that I tried to relay to people. You got to enjoy every single day. You really do, because you just never, ever know. Just don't know how much time we have on this earth. So my suggestion, do things. Be active. Hang out with your friends. Don't sit inside and just, you know, lounge around on the couch all day. If you're thinking, you know what? You know, maybe I'll meet up with those guys. Do it. Because you never know. If you're thinking, maybe I'll take that trip this summer. Do it. Don't push it off. Because you just never, ever know. So sad, sad stories there from the Dominican Republic. This is episode 453 of the Sports Report podcast. Paul Roberts with you on grizzlyproductions.tv. New shows Mondays on the Grizz and, of course, in the podcast section of iTunes. I want to end on a brighter note. I'm a fan of game shows. Always have been since I was a little kid watching The Price is Right, watching, you know, the show I used to really love, Pressure Luck. With the whammies, loved it. Peter Tamarkin was the host. That was my all-time favorite game show there with the whammies. But when you think of the most popular game shows, Jeopardy has to come to mind, right? Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, I mentioned Price is Right. Would you believe one of my really good friends got on Jeopardy and won? Yes, sir. My buddy Neil Uspel, who I've known since fourth grade, he was on Jeopardy last Thursday and Friday, and he ran away with the show on Thursday, just blew away the field. He won $19,400. Then on Friday, he won by $1. That's right, $1. He was in second place going into Final Jeopardy, and he got the last question wrong, as did the man who was leading going into Final Jeopardy. And that guy bet a lot more than my buddy Neil did. So Neil ended up winning by $1. He had $6,000 when it was said and done. So a two-day total of more than $25,000 for Neil. And he was on again Monday night. Now, I record this show Monday afternoons, so I'm not sure how he did tonight. I'll definitely watch, but I'm not sure right now. He's not allowed to tell me or any of our friends anything. He's very, very secretive about this, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been a big story. He's been in the newspaper locally here in Reading, PA. We're about an hour outside of Philadelphia. He's been on the local TV, too. So it's cool to see a high school friend getting that type of attention. And he was always super, super smart, just naturally gifted. You know, some people, like I'm the type of guy, I had to study my butt off. I had to take a bazillion notes, go over them and over them and over again. Some people just, you know, they just know things. I mean, just naturally smart, brainiacs. And he was one of those people. You know, one of those guys, you always said, hey, you should be on Jeopardy. Now he's getting a shot. That's pretty cool. And Neil's a character. He's got red hair. He's got glasses. He was in the band, kind of quirky. So we would give him a hard time occasionally when we were younger, just having fun, of course. But now Neil is a doctor out in Seattle. Saw him over the Christmas holiday, but again, he could not reveal anything about how he did on the game show. And then he wins his first two times on. Good stuff. Really nice guy. I went to Penn State and then went to Pittsburgh for med school. And now he's on the West Coast in Seattle. And if I would have known how well he was going to do when we had our big dinner over the holidays. You know, I have about 10 friends from high school. We still talk all the time, email, text messages, get together in the holidays. If I would have known that Neil was winning on Jeopardy, I mean, I would have, you know, said, hey, why don't you pick up the tab here for all the guys? But he couldn't tell us anything. So congratulations to my buddy Neil, and hopefully he keeps it rolling. But just getting on. I mean, you have to go through all these different tests, and then they bring you in for an audition. I mean, it is not easy just to get on the show, let alone win. And he won two in a row. So, good stuff there. This has been episode number 453 on a rainy Monday here in southeast Pennsylvania. But hey, I'll take rain over snow any day of the week and twice on Sunday. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great week, everybody. And keep the tweets coming at the Sports RPT. That's the handle for the Sports Report, the Sports RPT on Twitter. You can listen on iTunes or the Grizz. Again, this has been episode number 453. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.